pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight at every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Good to have you back. Hope everything is good in your world.
Yes, everything's good. It's nice to be back. Took some time off. Thanks for holding down the fort. You know, I was listening to a little jazz before the show, and you got on, and kind of took you by surprise there about my jazz listening. But I have a Twitter ex-friend, a friend on X, named Steve Balladeer, and he posted a link to this jazz group, the Keith Jarrett Wrong Blues, the Wrong Blues, and this guy is good. Here's a little sample of it. Kind of got me in a nice mellow mood thinking about things, you know?
Smooth.
Yeah, really smooth. It's the Keith Jarrett Jazz Blues. And just check out Keith Jarrett on YouTube. I mean, listen to that piano riff, man. Nice. Cello in the background. Piano's steady. Keith Jarrett's great on the piano. That's who the piano is. Yeah, man, it was pretty good. Enjoyed it. It was so thank you to Steve Balladeer. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Balladeer, and check out his post, and also check out Keith Jarrett Jazz, and just a nice little mellow. If you want something to mellow out with, you know, calm me down a little bit, got me in the right mood, and you know, after all that's gone on the last couple of weeks, and it's just amazing, you know. So how have you been? Good.
All good. Life is good. Played a lot of golf.
Good.
Going downhill in a handbasket, but that's what happens. And, you know, the ebb and flow, I've been ebbed. Waiting to get back on the flow. But I think I'm heading on the way. Shoot, I went from an 11 to a 14 handicap in the span of 2 weeks.
Oh, my. Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
That's, just anything in particular? Or just, you kind of like, ooh, just everything went flat.
Well, funny you say the word flat. That's what happened. My swing flattened out because I'm a lazy son of a bitch and didn't make the turn. I didn't make the turn because I thought I was so good I didn't have to anymore. But now I realize I got to turn my fat body around, and then good things happen and swing smoother. Kind of like jazz. I need more jazz in my swing rather than heavy metal.
There you go.
Instead of swinging like a maniac, I got to be like your buddy on the guitar on the keyboard, just smooth and in rhythm.
Get yourself a metronome. And have it playing, you know, just set it and let the metronome go, and then swing to the beat of the metronome. You want a little bit of a pointer there? Actually, pretty good.
What speed on the metronome is your go to?
Okay, so my go to, yes, it's whatever the tempo is to David Toms, not Nick Price, David Toms. That's the speed, David Toms, and That's a good speed that would get you in position, and yeah.
All right. I will try that.
Get the app on the phone if you got an Apple.
Yeah. No Apple, but yeah, I'll try it. You can pull it up. That's a great tip.
No, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. That's all.
Hey. Hopefully it works, because somehow I think the metronome may have worked for this past weekend, the Farmers Insurance Open. It was played at the famed Torrey Pines Golf Club. They have two courses, the north and the south, and it was a rare Wednesday start with the Saturday finish. And Francis Mathieu Pavone, a DP World Tour player, he earned his PGA card last year by finishing in the top 10. I think he finished in the top five, actually, of the DP World Tour standings. And while Pavone showed he was worthy of earning his PGA card by winning the Farmers Insurance Open, his like third tournament, his third PGA tournament of the year, he wins it by one shot over Nikolai Højegaard of Norway, who is also a DP World Tour player with Pavone. Pavone finished at 13 under par, which, by the way, Trevor Immelman predicted the score would be 13 under, which was kind of odd since Pavone was at 11 under going into Saturday's final round. So it was really good. It was exciting. It had a lot of twists and turns. Pavone fell back even, or tied, I should say. And then he just pulled ahead. He made a nice birdie. He made a short putt, 3 foot for a par, but he didn't panic, and he striped his drive on 18 and fantastic job closing the door. So next week the pros will be at Pebble Beach for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is, man, pack a lunch because that's a long round.
I tell you, I watched the tournament. I got in a couple of days. I got, you know, watch it start to finish. I mean, who can? But I got bits and pieces of it. And I tell you, I did not find it that exciting.
Really?
I enjoyed the golf. Don't get me wrong. The golf is excellent. The players are phenomenal. Their shot making is great. But the tournament didn't have the excitement, maybe because there was no big name players that were anywhere on the top of the leaderboard. I mean, Knapp, Lashley, Jaeger, Højegaard, and Pavone, I don't know, they probably wouldn't be at your A-list table for PGA players, would they?
Well, yeah, I guess not. I guess if you follow the DP World Tour, which I do follow, you'll know that Pavone and Højegaard are both a household name. I enjoy Pavone because I love his swing, and it was just absolutely just beautiful to watch. So for me, watching DP Tour, it was like names I was familiar with. So that's you made a good point, because people, the average person watching, doesn't know if they don't follow other tours. So
I'm that guy. So, but I mean, the golf aspect is phenomenal. These guys are the best in the world at their craft, and that is always enjoyable to watch, no matter what the sport. To be able to watch the best at the whatever it is, to me is great, especially in sports.
Good point, because two of the best ladies actually squared off in the LPGA, and that was really good. That was at Bradenton Country Club, an old Donald Ross design. Mm-hmm. If you're into golf, back in the 1920s, Donald Ross was one of the biggest architects of golf courses. And Nellie Korda, American Nellie Korda, she was seeking her ninth PGA Tour victory. She entered Sunday round a 4-shot lead over Lydia Ko and Meghan Kane. And Nelly blew that lead. And by the 15th hole, she double bogeys the par 3 15th. Now she's three shots back. She bogeyed 16. Now she's three shots back. And Lydia Ko now has a three-shot lead. Lydia Ko is going for an automatic spot in the LPGA Hall of Fame. And if she wins, and all of a sudden – Nellie Korda finds something. She eagles the par 5, so she makes a 3 on the par 5 on 17. Now she's one back on the tough par par 4, 18th hole. She birdies. Nelly Korda birdies. And now she's tied for the lead because all Lydia Ko could do is par the hole. And it sends Lydia Ko and Korda into a playoff. And on the second playoff hole, Lydia hits the green in two, and so did Korda, but the ball rolled off underneath the stands. I don't know if you watched it. So she had a tough chip going back up the hill, and she made, you know, she knocked it to 4 feet. Lydia Ko has a 50-footer for a birdie and to win, and she knocks it. She leaves it like 8 to 10 feet short. Just misjudged the speed and the grain. So Lydia still away. She has to putt while Nelly is waiting to do her par putt, and Ko misses the par putt, taps it in for a bogey, and she has to sit there and hope that Korda misses the short 4-footer, 5-footer, and it's a downhill, really a delicate putt. And what does Nelly Korda do? She drains the putt, center cut. She comes back from a debilitating severe blood clot, which derailed her 2023 season, and she wins her ninth LPGA tournament. And Lydia Ko finishes second, but you know, after finishing first last week. So Lydia Ko's back, and it appears that Nelly Korda is back as well. So that's great for ladies golf.
Oh, and that was a great, great match. That was
it
exciting.
It was. I have to say, that was really good. I was hoping that Nelly could pull it out, and she ended up did it. And boy, that girl can. She has such a beautiful. That lady has such a beautiful swing, and both of them really did extremely well. So, congratulations to Lydia Ko, and who was just one shy away from an automatic bid at age 25. Age 25 going into the LPGA Hall of Fame. That is unbelievable. That's beautiful, man. It really is.
Yeah, Korda thought. Yeah, Korda on the post interview said, "Hey, I think I'm." She thought she was out of the tournament after the double bogey or the double, and that she just said, "I thought it was done." And then all of a sudden, like you said, eagle birdie is unheard of. If you don't know about golf, what she accomplished is a rarity, and it was spectacular to watch.
I mean, talk about nuts, huh? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, someone having nails, and so that was really good. So, hey. And,
no nuts on her. Could be.
Well,
thank
no,
God.
She's actually a female. You know.
Well, wait,
I guess,
did you hear what? That story last week about the male who may be making it into the LPGA, a male golfer who joined the female golfers cross-dressing and won one of the, one of the tournaments that sets him up to have a go at, to make the LPGA if he can win another tournament. So
he made
a big hurdle towards the LPGA as a man cross-dressing as a woman.
That's just wrong. That's just absolutely wrong.
But I tell you, where there were real men was the NFL, and I don't think you probably watched any of the games, but the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs and San Francisco 49ers will face off in Super Bowl LV1-1. I don't know.
58.
So it'd be something 8. 58.
And, yep.
All right. And both teams won their respective conference championship games yesterday. Did you watch any?
I watched a little bit of the Kansas City game.
Yeah,
that was it.
I haven't watched football in so long, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. There is no woke Marxist bullshit to get me all mad, which was surprising because I was expecting. I got on earlier because I wanted to hear the national anthem, see how they did it, because there was chatter among the chattering class that the black national anthem would be played. at the playoff games. But luckily, I didn't hear any of that, or I would have just been mad. So I got to watch the game in peace without any political BS. And I was very pleased. The football was excellent. The games were close. And had an enjoyable afternoon sitting on my ass watching football.
That's pretty good. Hey, very good.
Yeah.
No, I did not see the game, the Detroit game. I did watch some of the Kansas City game, and then I was watching a movie, and I got engulfed in a movie. So.
But Detroit started strong up until the half, and then they fell apart and lost 34-31 to San Francisco. So looking forward to the Super Bowl. Hopefully it'll be as good as the playoffs, but we'll see.
Yeah, I heard a couple of pundits state that it was Detroit Lions abandoned the running game, and that was the wrong thing to do because they had San Francisco on its heels. So that's too bad. Well, congratulations to the 49ers and to the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs make it back fifth time to the Super Bowl in 6 years. So that's not bad at all.
Yep. And there you go.
I was watching a movie last night called Foreign Correspondent. And I don't know why, but all of a sudden I got hooked, and it was an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Joel McRae and Lorraine Day. It was a 1940 classic. Never seen it before, and I got consumed by it.
Yeah,
it was really incredible.
And what's it called again? Foreign Correspondent.
Foreign Correspondent. It's really cool. It had some twists and turns in it, and it's an American, Joel McRae, as a news guy, and he gets sent to Europe pre-World War II to cover the foreign, the European issues and whether or not they'll go to war with Germany. So, and from there, it was actually pretty good. And Lorraine Day is very pretty. Oh, man, she was a doll. And he falls in love with her immediately, but then the twists and turns. So if you hadn't seen it, it's a good black and white film.
Well, also in sports, before you jump on to the next topic, is Taylor Swift in sports, and she's having a bit of an artificial intelligence problem. As images of Swift went viral on the platform, these are explicit naked images, and she had to be they were removed from Twitter. And how that's sports related, of course, is she's now dating Kansas City Chief player Kelsey, who also had an outstanding game. Vince McMahon from the WWE, he had executive chairman. He had to resign amid sexual assault and trafficking allegations from a former employee. So he already resigned. And then Arna Sabalenka wins back-to-back Australian Open titles. And Italy's Jannik Sinner wins his first ever Grand Slam. So congratulations to them as well.
You know, I was going to bring up about the Australian Open and the men's match between Sinner and Medvedev. And I got to tell you, I watched that match. Holy crap. What an absolute great match. Medvedev got out to a 2-set-to-none lead, and out of the best of three, and Sinner, Italy's Jannik Sinner, came back and he won the next three sets, 6-4, 6-4, 6-3, and he dropped Medvedev. I mean, it was incredible to win his first Australian Open and his first major on the tennis circuit. So it was one of the Grand Slam majors. So, wow, did you happen to see that at all?
No, I didn't watch any of the Open.
I watched that match, and I could not believe the rallies between two men You know, women, you expect their, you know, 5, 6, 7 volley, you know, rally. These guys, they were doing 12, 13, 10. I mean, they were just going back and forth. It was really impressive to watch.
And the last bit of sports news, Dallas Mavericks' Luka Doncic hauls in 73 points and tied for the fourth highest scoring performance in NBA history.
Wow.
That I would have liked to have seen, even though I don't watch the NBA anymore, but that is a hell of a statistic, and congratulations to Luka Doncic.
Yeah, very good. That was the Italian national anthem in the background, by the way.
And the black players are up in arm that some Czechoslovakian guy, Eastern Bloc, did so well. They won a little equity. But that's it for another day.
Yeah. Well, maybe they
should
earn
it. Black Matter got all upset.
Did they really?
No, I'm making that up. That's not entirely true.
I was going to say, oh, my goodness. Oh, man. So, Alejandro Mayorkas, the failed Department of Homeland Security secretary, is up for impeachment once again by the U.S. House, but this time it looks pretty serious.
Yay.
Yeah, it's about time because the feckless and the lying Secretary of Department of Homeland Security should be impeached. But, you know, while listening to all the pundits today and they were talking about the impeachment and oh, my God, the mistakes that he's made, you know, listen, make no mistake about it. Mayorkas was put in place for a reason. And the reason was to intentionally open the borders and then to go deaf, dumb, and stupid. And that's exactly what Mayorkas did. He went deaf, dumb, and blind. And make no mistake about this. Alejandro Mayorkas is a BOAR, a B-O-A-R team member. He is a Biden-Obama alumni regime. Alejandro Mayorkas was Obama's director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. He also managed staffing the DOJ Criminal Division. That was under Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama and the Biden regime. And lo and behold, the Biden-Harris regime appoint, nominate, and elevate Alejandro Mayorkas to Department of Homeland Security Secretary. And he flat out lied to the United States Senate Committee. He flat out lied over the last 1,097 days to the U.S. House committees. And he did it looking directly into the faces of the senators and representatives. And there's no remorse for that. He has no remorse. So for people to say that, you know, he is inept and he doesn't know what he's doing, that's incorrect. Mayorkas knows exactly what he's doing. Biden and Obama knew exactly what they were doing by elevating Mayorkas to Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. Remember, the issue with Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama was to fundamentally transform America. We all heard it. We all heard it. And then it was repeated once again by Dopey Joe after being installed as president. Fundamentally transform America. What would that mean? Why would you scrap a constitutional republic? Why would you scrap a constitutional republic, a constitution that's worked since 1787? Unless, of course, your aim was to fundamentally transform America into a democracy, because you know that a democracy degrades into a dictatorship. It's guaranteed. So one of the ways to fundamentally transform America so that the citizenry has no allegiance to the United States, to their new country, is to simply open the borders and allow for countries like Venezuela and other countries to empty their prisons, for the communist Chinese to transport their citizens into the United, to locations in, let's say, the Darien Pass,
Darien Gap in order to make their way through our open southern borders. And Alejandro Mayorkas had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to state that there's no problem at the borders and the borders are secure. And we all know that's a flat-out lie. If they were so secure, then why are sanctuary cities and states such as Chicago, Illinois, the state of Massachusetts, the city of New York, and the state of New York hemorrhaging right now? Why? Because the influx of illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens have been placed on their sanctuary doorsteps. And suddenly, sanctuary states, sanctuary cities like Martha's Vineyard, turning away 55 illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens who came into their sanctuary city of Martha's Vineyard. And what did the mayor of Martha's Vineyard do immediately? Call the contact the then Governor Charlie Baker of Massachusetts. And within 10 hours, 12 hours, the Massachusetts National Guard was in Martha's Vineyard to escort the 55 illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to a military base on Cape Cod. Now, that's some compassion, isn't it? You're a sanctuary city. You're also the sanctuary city of for the former president of the United States, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, who loves the fact that the borders are open, and yet they find a way to close their city. And they do it using the National Guard, the Massachusetts National Guard. And then you fast forward to New York City, and they had all the answers, right? They were challenging Trump, President Trump, at every level, and President Trump was mean, and he was an anti-immigrant, and he closed the border to all Muslims, although there's 57 Islamic states, and only 5 Islamic states were closed to come into the United States. Why? Because you can't vet, okay? You can't vet the citizens of Libya or Syria or Iran, okay? You know, or Yemen to come into the United States. And so the rational thing that a president would do who reveres the United States of America, who believes in the U.S. Constitution, like Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution that states the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. We'll protect each of them against invasion. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Imagine a president of the United States instructing the Department of Homeland Security Secretary to protect the borders of the United States from invasion. And does so. And now that president is an enemy of the sitting anti-American regime, the Boar regime, B-O-A-R, the Biden-Obama alumni regime. Because the individuals who occupy the executive branch of government were all with Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. And it was to ensure that the fundamental transformation of America was going to continue under Joe Biden, the evil, wicked man, okay? Dopey Joe. Because Joe is not a smart man. He's a malleable simpleton, just like Kamala Harris, and can be told what to do. After all, it wasn't he who attained the highest office in the land without the help of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the Washington, D.C. syndicate. I mean, the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, was Obama's deputy assistant and director of policy. Anthony Blinken, Obama's deputy National Security Advisor. Now he's the Secretary of State. Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, I just mentioned that. He was Obama's director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. So he knows and understands the policies of a closed border. And yet, he had ensured that the border was open. And Samantha Power is a communist. She's a Marxist. She was Obama's transition team for the State Department and his U.S. ambassador from 2013 to 2017. And now she heads the U.S. Agency for International Development. The acronym is USAID. Now, why is this important? Because USAID has a $50 billion budget and employs over 10,000 people. And of that $50 billion budget, USAID, under Samantha Power, gives money to the Norwegian Refugee Council. And do you know what the Norwegian Refugee Council does with that money? And the money they get from the European Union? They help sponsor the illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens who are pouring through our southern border. Yes, we the taxpayers are getting screwed by the Biden regime, and now we're paying for it yet again because the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, under Samantha Power, gives money to the Norwegian Refugee Council. Not to mention the European Union also gives money to the Norwegian Refugee Council, as well as their own money in aiding and abetting illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through our southern border. Yes, the EU. Yes, USAID. Yes, the Red Cross. By the way, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, gives money to the Red Cross, which helps sponsor illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens to come through our southern borders. So, folks, this is a coordinated effort by the Obama team that is back in place under dopey Joe Biden. Wendy Sherman, Obama's Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, she's the Deputy Secretary of State. You starting to see a pattern here? Brian Deese, Obama's senior White House advisor and acting director of the Office of Budget and Management and Budget, he is the director of the National Economic Council. The domestic policy of one Joe Biden and his team, his Boer regime, his Boer team, has done an outstanding job in tanking the U.S. economy. By the way, Janet Yellen was Obama's chairman of the Federal Reserve, and she is now the Secretary of the Treasury. Cecilia Rouse, Obama member of Council of Economic Advisors, and she's now the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. You know, these people have adopted a Marxist principle. They've adopted a democracy principle. Democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And it's exactly what is meant by the fundamental transformation of America. You know, there was the FBI agent, Dan Smoot. Here's a 50-second clip to remind you, who explains the difference between a democracy and a constitutional republic. And it's why it's important to understand that what Alejandro Mayorkas is doing is not by accident. It's by design. So here is Dan Smoot in 1966, a former FBI agent, who actually tells you exactly what the difference is.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
The subversion of language, and it's exactly what Obama started. It's exactly what he did from 2009 to 2017. It's exactly what Joe Obama is doing today, and it's exactly what each and every member of the Boer regime is doing, the subversion of language. It is why they continually refer to America as a democracy and not a constitutional republic. Why is that, Dan?
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty.
Individual
liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises
A democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and it's exactly what is being done today. It's why Mayorkas looks into the eyes of a U.S. senator, irrespective of their party affiliation, and says the border is secure. It is why Alejandro Mayorkas looks into the eyes of a member of the U.S. House committee, and he lies directly to their face and says that the U.S. border is secure. And he says, we don't have a problem with the border. No, you don't have a problem because millions of unvetted, unvaccinated, illegal aliens have poured and are pouring through our borders. You have people that are on the terror watch list who have been arrested, something like 359. You have 30,000 communist Chinese of males of fighting age, okay, who have been detained at our U.S. borders. You have the communist Chinese buying hotels and motels from the Darien Gap in Panama all the way up through Colombia, through Guatemala, and into Mexico so that their citizens could stay along their travel into breaching the U.S. border. So they're fresh. They can shower. They can eat. They're given backpacks. They're given supplies. That's not by accident, not to mention the fentanyl that has been pouring through the borders. And if we really had a war on drugs, if we really had politicians who cared about war on drugs, if Alejandro Mayorkas did nothing else but try to stem the flow of illegal drugs across the southern border that are killing our children, killing individuals, he would have been responsible enough to take action against it. But that's not the motive. The motive, again, is to descend America into a democracy so those in power could end up being the dictators. And suddenly, 4 years later, 1,097 days later, you have the Biden regime talking about immigration, and we need immigration policies. Excuse me, but there is an immigration policy. As a matter of fact, Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution says the U.S. United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. That should have been pretty simple for a career politician like Bonehead Biden. But Biden is also doing exactly what he was installed to do. Right, socialist utopia. You got it, dogs. That's exactly right, socialist utopia. And it's a reason why Alejandro Mayorkas, a hollow man, a deaf, dumb, and blind man, was installed as Homeland Security Secretary. It wasn't because of his expertise. It's because he can go deaf, dumb, and silent at the proper time. And who's going to question him? The left-wing media? And yes, I'm going to say the left-wing media. The media in this country, which we used to call the mainstream media, is owned and operated by the Democrat National Committee. How is it that suddenly the talking points, the same exact talking points appear on ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN? The same exact talking points. Why? Because those alphabet media sources are bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee. Again, it's the fundamental transformation of America, and it's to descend America into a democracy, which then degenerates into a dictatorship. These people know exactly what they're doing. So make no mistake about it. Mayorkas is the perfect stooge to implement whatever the Biden-Obama alumni regime plan of action is. And we know what it is. It's open borders. And if the borders were so secure, then why is Mayor Adams in New York City going absolutely ape over the fact that he's being flooded with the illegal aliens and he can't afford it? His city's budgets are busted. Why is it that the mayor of Chicago says we can't take any more illegal unvetted aliens? And then you've got the Governor Healey of Massachusetts. She gets on TV, and her, you know what her her answer was to the illegal unvetted aliens going into her state? I'm asking the people of Massachusetts to take in an immigrant, take in a migrant, and take him into your house. Really? That's your answer, Governor Healey? What, you're that, the state of Massachusetts is that gone? In 1776, the shot heard round the world was out of Concord, Massachusetts. It was where America was launched. And where today in 2024, is this where America dies? In Boston, Massachusetts? The same state that gave us great men like General George Washington? Where the patriots rose up and they fought against tyranny? They fought against King George III? And today, due to the wokeness and Marxist mentality of Massachusetts, you have the governor of Massachusetts asking the citizens to take in a migrant into your house. This is going to be the cure-all. So if our borders were so secure, why are the governors of New York and Massachusetts and the mayors of New York and Chicago, they're all panicking? And those are just two states and two major cities. We've seen what's going on in San Francisco, California, Los Angeles. We see what's happening along the Eagle Pass, and thank you to Governor Abbott for shutting down Eagle Pass. And if you watch the muckrakers.com, if you go to their website and check out their videos, by the way, one of the key passage points for the communist Chinese in instructing their citizens, their communist citizens to travel to is Eagle Pass, Texas. And why is it that Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden are putting up a fight in the governor of Texas closing Eagle Pass, Texas? Why? Why? Are they adopting global principles? Are they adopting the United Nations principles, this new liberal world order that Joe Biden had spoken about? And we'll go into the United Nations in a few minutes here, because the UN is not done. We're not just talking about now their mission of immigration. But what their agency, the UNRWA, how they were involved in the October 7th terrorist attack on Israel. No, you see, the sordidness of the United Nations has come to light in two areas. One, in the U.S. borders being breached. Two, in the terrorist attack on Israel. Now, when you have a regime, a BOAR, B-O-A-R, Biden, Obama, alumni regime. A BOAR is a form of a pig, and a BOAR is the most destructive of the swine. And how fitting that the Biden, Obama, alumni regime are destructive. They are destructive, and they are liars. They seek to destroy our constitutional republic for a democracy which leads to a dictatorship. That's what they're implementing, folks. And it's why Obama, Biden, and the left wing reject America's constitutional republic. The individual liberties, they don't want that. Look at the move and the massive move to undermine the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Even that supposed constitutional scholar Jamie Raskin, represented from Maryland, is talking about how the Second Amendment doesn't apply to individuals owning weapons. And yet it was the Supreme Court which upheld the Second Amendment and the individual's right to bear arms, as stated in the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Somehow we have members of the United States Congress, biggest suit. Maybe they have to read it to understand what's in it. And even then, the left-wingers don't understand it. Why? Because a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And if we want to understand who the players are in this movement, let's just listen to a Jamie Raskin, if you can. Listen to a Barack Hussein Satoru Obama or a Bill Clinton or a Hillary Rotten Clinton. Or if you can stomach Mayorkas, who looks out with that stupid look, deaf, dumb, and stupid, and yet he's fulfilled his mission. So it's not that the man's ignorant. He's doing exactly what he was put in to do. And now that it's an election year, 2024, suddenly, miraculously, Biden, Harris, Obama regime are now talking about immigration reform. And they pranced out the propaganda princess, Jean-Pierre, to talk about how the Republicans are putting an obstacle up. They're an obstacle to passing real immigration reform. Excuse me. We have an immigration policy that your Department of Homeland Security secretary failed to fulfill. You have a president of the United States and a border czar vice president who have failed the American people in following U.S. immigration law. The idea, of course, now is to give amnesty to all those illegal, unvetted, aliens, because they're not migrants, aliens, who pour through our borders. And that's how Democrat Party, that is how the left wing, that is how the establishment will solve everything. You make these people citizens of the United States to ensure your voting block. And now what you're doing is these migrants have nothing vested inside the United States. And all they hear is that America is a democracy. And now you've changed the entire language. You subverted the language because it's exactly what this is about. This is about subversion of language. This is about misdirecting. And this is what these people are good at. That's why they're in Washington, D.C. They don't want to lose that power. Heaven forbid that Donald Trump gets elected. These people are actually crapping in their pants right now. Because we the people are speaking. We the people spoke in Iowa resoundingly. We the people spoke in New Hampshire, which was shocking in my opinion, because New Hampshire is just north of Massachusetts, although it's Boston and Springfield that drive the electorate, and the rest of the state, which is rural area, which are great Americans who live off of the land, who understand what it means to be an American. They don't fall for the left-wing garbage, but yet you carry enough votes in these major cities like you do in Chicago and Illinois with Chicago. Okay? You look at the map of Chicago, there's two blue spots. One is in Springfield and one is in Chicago. The rest of the state is all red. And yet, the left-wing candidate will win that state. So for New Hampshire to vote overwhelmingly for President Trump, and it derailed DeSantis' campaign. He's done. Vivek is done. Nikki Haley is done, although, you know, not to get off track here for a second, but I seem to remember the 2020 Democrat primary where suddenly, out of nowhere, Joe Biden, a distant third, wins the South Carolina primary, Democrat Party primary, and suddenly he's the front runner. And the two front runners, which was Pete Buttigieg and Senator from Minnesota, who were running one and two, Amy Klobuchar, they suddenly just bow out. And they open the door for the dumb, feckless wonder, Joe Biden. And so now here we are. And we're faced with the same sort of scenario in the Republican Party primary. Nikki Haley is a distant third. Well, there's only two candidates. Like I said, Nikki Haley is a distant third. But she has a lot of money coming in from left-wing donors, from major Democrat Party donors. Why? They despise Donald Trump. Why? Because he wants to make America great. Yeah. What? Since when is that a bad thing? Since when is closing the U.S. borders to protect the United States of America a bad thing? Since when is upholding the U.S. Constitution a bad thing? Well, it's a bad thing because the Washington, D.C. syndicate has other plans. And that plan is to change America to a democracy, which always degenerates into a dictatorship. And Donald Trump has proven to be an obstacle in that transformation. But it's not just Donald Trump, it's we the people have been that obstacle. And that's what's causing the left wing, the Washington, D.C. syndicate, to crap their pants, including Mitch McConnell. I'm not talking about just one side of the political aisle, because the Uniparty is very active in Washington, D.C., and they are extremely concerned. They are very pissed off at we the people. How dare we the people have the audacity to support Donald J. Trump? Well, I don't know. The economy was great under him. America was energy independent. Somehow that's a bad thing. And with America being energy independent, guess what? Iran's economy was reeling. Yeah. Guess what? Russia's economy was reeling. Wow. So you mean Russia didn't have the money to wage war against their neighbors, such as, I don't know, Ukraine? Oh, you mean Iran didn't have the money to support Hezbollah? They didn't have the money to support Islamic jihadists such as Hamas? So they didn't have the money to fund the Houthis, which are now disrupting trade going through the Red Sea? And, oh, you mean President Trump held the enemies at bay and they were concerned about America's president? Oh, and NATO, you know, Donald Trump was such a mean man that he required all NATO nations to pay their fair share. Well, wait a minute, fair share, he used a left-wing terminology. Yes, the NATO charter calls for all member nations to pay 2% of their GDP, not a 0.5% like Italy, or 3/4, or 0.75% like France, or 1% like Germany, or 1.2% like Germany, or not like 5% like the United States. All member nations pay 2% of their GDP. And Donald Trump was a mean man. You know, the manufactured outrage by the Washington, D.C. syndicate to portray Donald Trump as extreme was extreme in itself. Because the American people who were of sound mind understood what President Trump was doing. And sadly, the Washington, D.C. syndicate didn't like the idea of someone actually following the rules. So they made stuff up. They manufactured a Russian collusion. They manufactured, you know, the Russian prostitute thing. They manufactured the Steele dossier. And it was just one lie after another. And it was a way to go after a political enemy, a sitting president. Somehow, you just sit back and ask yourself, somehow making America great is a bad thing. But making America weak is exactly what Joe Obama, Border Czar Harris, and Barack Hussein Sator Obama have done. They've made America weak. They've made America weak by elevating a person like Alejandro Mayorkas as Secretary of Homeland Security, all by design. They made America weak by putting Samantha Power into a position where she can control $50 billion of taxpayer money, which goes to support illegal, unvetted aliens who are pouring through our borders. There's a reason for that. So, Al, I don't know what the Washington, D.C. syndicate is going to do next, but I know one thing. They certainly are scared of We the People. And the outcome in New Hampshire, to me, is quite telling, because I did not expect Trump to win New Hampshire, let alone win it as big as he did.
Well, I'm not surprised at that, but House Republicans, they unveiled their articles of impeachment to remove Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, formally kicking off a controversial process. Ooh. As Democrats and experts argue, he has not committed any high crimes or misdemeanors to justify booting him from his post. Now, the resolution that you alluded to included two articles, one that accuses Mayorkas of violating immigration laws through a host of Biden administration policies, while a second article combines a host of the GOP's most contested arguments, accusing the secretary of falling short of his duties, misleading Congress, and obstructing their investigation. Now, the House Homeland Security Committee will mark up this resolution during a Tuesday meeting, while Speaker Mike Johnson has pledged to bring them to the House floor as soon as possible. Now, this all sounds good, but I lack faith that the Republicans will follow through with this in any meaningful way, because I don't know if they have the votes, one. I mean, I'm glad they're doing this, but I think the Republicans are going to be split to some degree, and that this is going to crash and burn like every other attempt the Republicans have made. And whatever deal is going through, we already have Mitt Romney going with Biden administration against the Republicans. So I hope I'm wrong, but I think this thing's going to crash and burn, because the Republicans are rhinos and they're not going to do anything. And this is post-Trump, and they need Trump to make our border secure. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope something happens.
I have to agree with you on that one. I hope something does happen. And like you, you know, I believe that the Uniparty has already exposed themselves in the first vote. And look, 17 Republicans voted along with the Democrats, including Daryl Issa. And here it was, Daryl Issa stating, "Oh, I can't wait to get you in front of our impeachment committee, Mr. Mayorkas." And what did he do? He basically voted with the Democrats. So, like you, I don't expect much, because it's all part of the Uniparty system.
Right. And if the Republicans had any set of cojones, they would have gone after Biden himself, because that is a high crime and misdemeanor, because the president has a constitutional duty to secure the borders from invasion. And this is an invasion. When you have Border Patrol cutting the concertina wire to let illegal aliens come through, that's a problem. When the federal government goes after the governor of Texas, Abbott, for putting up concertina wire to keep the illegal aliens out, as well as barriers in the Rio Grande to keep illegal aliens from coming into the state of Texas. There's a big problem going on here, and the Republicans are divided. But this is a move in the right direction, and so we'll see what happens come Tuesday.
We know who the Uniparty members are. So, you know what? I think Hank is on the line. You want to take? Yeah.
Excellent.
Hank. Good evening, Hank. How you doing? Sorry to keep you holding.
Welcome.
Hank? Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. All right. We'll leave it open for Hank. Hello, Hank.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, you're on
the
air.
Good evening.
So, Vito, I talked about the Massachusetts thing last week. And, I mean, I'm still flabbergasted by it. I mean, on what planet does a governor – I mean, she's got more balls than most of the Republicans just to come out and say that. I mean, can you imagine in any other way? I mean, to actually have the temerity to just say, you know what, this isn't a border issue, this is a housing issue. Oh, my God, we need to get our citizens. I mean, literally, we literally just 200 some years ago fought the fact that the British were coming into our homes and taking over our homes. And now she's literally turned around and said, my gosh, that's a good thing.
This is a housing issue. Thank you for reminding me. It's a housing issue.
I mean, is it even possible? I mean, that's why I kept saying during that part of my show, it's like, am I even, I mean, is this like a joke? I mean, you know, bring in Alan Foote and end this thing. Call the joke. Tell me I'm an idiot or whatever. You know, I mean, put the dunce cap on my head or whatever. This cannot be real. I mean, it's real, unfortunately, but...
Well, this is the Democrat Party's way of dealing with immigration in order to shield Dopey Joe. And it's always a bit about covering up for Dopey Joe and covering up for the mission of the Democrat Party. And so you have a governor, Governor Healey, who is just – who's brain dead. I mean, you know, she won because there were really no challengers. No one wanted the job of governor. And it just goes to show how unqualified she is. You know, this immigration issue is about housing. No, it's not. I mean, how stupid can you be?
Well, and it was like, it was also a response, I believe, somebody said, you know, when they were talking about the weather issues and how are we going to, you know, there are people that couldn't pay their heating bills and stuff. And then somebody made, of course, the brilliant question, what about these people out on the streets? Well, of course, that's not a problem. We'll just put them in our own house. I mean, can you imagine looking with a straight face? I don't know how the media listened to that and didn't just absolutely, I mean, remember Young Frankenstein where they start throwing lettuce and tomatoes at when the monster reacts to the lights blowing up? That's what, I mean... If our media had any guts at all, that's what they should have been doing. They literally should have been throwing rotten tomatoes at the governor at that point. I mean, even the most liberal media person should have been listening to that and saying, what in the hell? What in the hell?
So, I mean, I have family members who actually had to buy heating oil, okay? And when Trump left office, they had paid $335 to fill up a 200-gallon tank, I think it was, okay? And last year, before this winter, they filled up the tank, okay, maybe within 5 gallons, and it cost $970. So now you've got – now, I'm not saying – they've done this all along for the last 3 years, okay, but – In less than 3 years' time, it went up 300%. Not to mention, their utility bills went up 200%. Not 67% like Mass Electric said it would be. It went up 200%. And then you add to that the gas prices for their vehicles. So now they're down to one vehicle because they can't afford to put gas and insurance for two cars. So you tell me now, how do you pay rent?
Old money in Massachusetts is having two cars in your driveway.
Right. So illegal aliens now, you know, they need a home. Now, if housing was the issue, this is a point, I just remember the point I was going to make. If housing was such an issue, then why is it that Martha's Vineyard called Governor Baker, the governor at that time, to call in the Massachusetts National Guards to remove the 55 illegal unvetted aliens who came into their city.
Oh, but they all had such a good time, remember? They all had such a good time. It was so fun.
Do you know how many summer homes are vacant in Martha's Vineyard? You know, even Barack Hussein Sator Obama could have taken 15 migrant families in his mansion. I mean, you know, this whole thing.
Well, the problem there is he no longer has a chef to cook for himself, you know.
Ooh, that's true. Yeah. They did off him.
That one went down with the paddleboard, so to speak. So, yeah, I've been touching on that again. So, anyway. Something else you mentioned. You mentioned democracy and then dictatorship. Remember, we had a friend long ago. I remember a letter he wrote one time, milk toast in a democracy creates a dictatorship. Would you have ever guessed at that time how right he would be?
Oh, man. No. And you know something? We didn't really understand. We understood what he was saying, But we didn't understand the exact meaning of that, you know?
Yep. He was so right, more right than we ever would have guessed.
Yes. Yep.
You know, and of course, the body at that time that was supposed to approve a letter on behalf of my committee at the time, remember, said, oh, no, we can't possibly have that. That's too mean or whatever. God. And the half of them, you know, probably are thinking the same thing, like, by God, he was right.
He was. He was.
Yeah.
So what's on your agenda for Wednesday?
You know, I'm kind of going to talk about the, believe it or not, I know this is terrible. I said I wouldn't do this for a while, but I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl, mainly because there's a Hawkeye playing for it, playing for the Niners, George Kittle, former Hawkeye. So,
okay.
You know, I kind of got to talk about him. So, can't go without. No, I'm talking about him because I think, you know, what's kind of gone unnoticed by a lot of people, in spite of the fact that they, you know, the No Fun League and all that, I think Patrick Mahomes really is for real. I think he really has shown that he is, you know, on another level. And, you know, maybe there's a reason people like Colin Kaepernick aren't in the league anymore, because there are actually really good quarterbacks in the league, too, so. I'll talk a bit about that.
Good point.
I'll talk a bit about some more Second Amendment stuff. I started it last week, but, you know, the Supreme Court's going to be hearing some cases that could really, you know, some stuff could get, you know, tossed on its ear, you know, and it's kind of hard to say whether it's for the good or for the, you know, not so good or whatever. So I'll talk a little bit about that again. I'll talk some more on that.
And how about Mayorkas? If the Republicans do file impeachment charges tomorrow, will you discuss that on your show?
Well, but you guys just gave the outcome, which is absolutely right. I mean, Carol Issa and people like that are going to submarine it. I think. I would love to be able to talk. You know, we talk about Trump impeachments when those happen, but I don't even know that impeachment. I mean, are we ever going to see an impeachment against Dopey Joe? No, I don't think we are, and I don't think we'll see anything against Mayorkas. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to get, you know, shit canned, so to speak. I think they're going to figure out a way to just say, oh, well, you know, this is kind of mean or whatever. I mean, I don't think it's going to – I mean, I just don't think it's – I think you guys are right. I don't think anything's going to happen. I think Al said they don't have the cojones because the governor of Massachusetts has got them right now. So. You know, literally. I mean, I'm thinking of calling up. Maybe we should do a live. I should do a live call during the show. Call the governor of the Massachusetts and say, "Could you return some of these guys' balls? Just, you know, make it a fair fight." You raised an interesting point, though. You raised, you know, about the South Carolina primary back in 2020. You think there's something coming up with that? You know, talking about. I mean, why else would Haley still be in the race? You know.
Well, that's just it, and now it's also like Bigfoot put in the chat room, Nikki Haley is the best Democrat in the race, and you know, she has a funding machine of Democrats, of big left-wing donors who are trying to prop her up, because, of course, everything is about defeating Trump, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because will that resurrect? So, the media will resurrect her campaign. She will get trounced by any Democrat party, any Democrat member who the Democrats should field for president of the United States. I still don't think that Dopey Joe makes it through. I don't. I don't think that Obama allows it.
Well, I think she's staying in case any of the suits against Trump do get traction and.
Yeah.
He gets put in jail on the remote
which
possibility
reason,
that
which
that happens.
Which raises another question, though.
Wait a minute, Al. Wait a minute. Hank.
Yeah, go ahead, Al.
Go ahead, Al.
I was just saying that in the remote possibility that Trump does one of these attack cases against Trump, does actually put him in jail and he's unable to run, she will be there, so that's what I think she's waiting for. But she doesn't deserve any type of a she doesn't deserve anything, because, like you said, she is a Democrat. She is a Rhino establishment candidate and person, has been, always will be.
It, you know, it raises a question, though. As someone who served in his administration at one point, would she turn on him? You know, will she? Is she
yes.
is she already feeding in info, you know, that kind of thing? You wonder about that, you know? Mm. And I think it's something that should be put forward everywhere. It's like, hey, wait a second. Why is she so, you know, there's nothing that says she even has a chance. So why is she? Is she helping the cause? And would that sink her campaign? Hopefully it would, but I don't know, you know. Too many establishment Republicans that might just prop her up. You know, that's a scary thought. And that's why I wonder, you know, the South Carolina primary 4 years ago, well, is that the same thing waiting to happen on our side now, you know?
Yeah, there's nothing, there's no such thing as a coincidence. There's
yeah.
no such thing as a coincidence. So for all this, all the noise that's happening, and then all of a sudden they're posturing for South Carolina, I just find it very interesting. The parallels are pretty clear. So, I don't know. They become so brazen now. They're throwing it right in our faces. And you know, how can you not deduce anything but this sitting administration is actually going after. They're attacking their political opponent. They're weaponizing the DOJ.
Well, they're not attacking their. I mean, that's the accurate term.
Yes.
They're weaponizing. I mean,
they're
literally.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, these aren't a campaign attack ads. This is actual weaponization. And we're witnessing it. And gosh, what media's? Some media's covering it, but not enough.
You know, I'm reading some of the Democrat Party noise and comments concerning the filing of impeachment charges against Mayorkas, and I just go back to one thing. Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution says the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Now, I don't know what else would you call the breaching of the Texas and Arizona and New Mexico borders. Would that just be travel? I mean, what do you classify that as?
Yeah, well, the fact that it's harder for me to get back in from Canada than it is for somebody to get in through half of our border, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable. They just, it's, and I don't know how. I mean, you mentioned that China's telling people to go to Eagle Pass. You know, everywhere you see, you never hear anything about other countries, you know, their border policies are draconian or, are denial of human rights, but somehow ours are. Somehow protecting our borders is a violation of human rights. But everyone else protecting theirs, no, not so much.
Yeah. The United States.
Yeah, everybody knows that the flood at the border is to overwhelm our law enforcement and to bring in enough people so they will be given the right to vote by the Democrat Marxists, and the Democrat Party will have power for the next decade. That's how it's going to play out.
It'll be a lot longer than a decade if that happens.
Yep.
Although, you know, we really will get to the point running out of – I mean – you know, continuing resolutions and stuff like that won't, I mean, after a certain point, it won't matter because there'll be nobody that has any confidence in our economy. You know, I mean, we won't have American workers for one thing. I mean, but that's a whole other discussion. That's an economic discussion, not a political one. So anyway, hey guys,
thank you.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, thanks, Hank. You can listen to Hank Jones on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. Any parting shots?
Nothing other than the one I broke a couple weeks ago, you know, was that, you know, every time Dopey Joe lets a fart, you got to ask, was that a fart, Mr. President? And the only possible answer is some of it. He's literally. It sounds like he's crapping his pants at every turn now. So I mean, I guess we just got to expect it. So no, I just, you know, it's become a joke. The presidency itself has become a joke, and we should be grateful in a sense that President Trump wants to continue and wants to do it again and to serve the country. Because I can't imagine that there are many people out there that see what's happening, sane people, and thinking, you know, this is a great, you know, being president would be fun. Because I can't even imagine President Trump thinks that. But that's how much it's become a joke, you know. And so, God willing, he gets back in November.
Absolutely. Well, Hank, thank you. Safe travels.
Thanks, guys.
I'll talk to you later.
We'll talk to y'all later.
All right, man.
So long, Hank.
Put
great
you on
call.
Hold.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Did you, hey, yeah. Al, did you see the picture of Dopey Joe taking a selfie with three construction workers? He was wearing his construction hat on backwards, and people were calling out that it's on backwards. And so they had to go to Snopes, and Snopes was trying to dispute the fact that Dopey Joe was wearing his helmet backwards. It is the funniest picture. If you find it, I mean, clearly the back strap is around his forehead, and Dopey Joe is smiling. He looks like a retard. I tell you.
Just put a football helmet on his head.
I saw that
picture.
Now,
there is one.
Good.
Yeah, pretty crazy. But there is one story that I really think is important and we should spend a little time on, is that three U.S. service members were killed and up to 34 injured in Jordan near the Syrian border by a one-way attack drones fired by an Iran-backed forces in Iraq. U.S. Central Commander CENTCOM said in a series of statements on Sunday. Now, while we're still gathering all the facts of this attack, we know it's carried out by radical Iran-backed militant groups operating in Syria and Iraq, the White House said in a statement. So we have three service members killed, numerous 34 injured, some with massive brain injuries, and this is an act of war by Iran, in my opinion, and the politics are already being played in this, and it is disgusting. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who went AWOL in a statement, said he was outraged and deeply saddened by the deaths of our three U.S. service members and the wounded of other American troops who were deployed to a site in northeastern Jordan near the Syrian border to work for the lasting defeat of ISIS. He went on to say the Iran-backed militias are behind the attacks. And here's his quote, "We will respond at a time and a place of our choosing, but nothing about calling that an act of war against Iran." What's your take on this story?
Okay, so I wrote some notes down about this over the weekend and today. I was listening to pundits all talk about the experts, and they all talk about, you know, why and this happening, and the three service people were named. U.S. Army Reserve Command show Sergeant William Jerome Rivers, age 46, Spec Kennedy Layden Sanders, 24, and Spec Brianna Alexandria Moffitt, age 23. I got to tell you, I look at the picture of Spec Kennedy Landon Sanders. She has such a beautiful smile. What a beautiful lady. Okay, what nobody has talked about, nobody has said anything about, and rightly they're speaking about the two Navy SEALs who died on January 11th, the 13 American soldiers killed in Afghanistan right out of the box in 2021 under Dopey Joe. No one talks about the correlation between the Chinook helicopter, Extortion 17, and what's happening at our American bases. You know, it was Dopey Joe who actually, as vice president, exposed SEAL Team 6 as the team that supposedly took out Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. And 2 months later, in August of, August of 2016, the Chinook helicopter, correct the date on that, Al, it was in August, was shot down, and the SEAL Team 6 members were all killed, including members of the Air Force. And there were three Afghan soldiers who were replaced on that Chinook helicopter at the last minute. These were three individuals who should not have been on the Chinook helicopter. Did they give the location? Okay, so now we fast forward to our bases. There's been 169 attacks on U.S. compounds, including the one that was, including what happened yesterday at the Outpost Tower 22, which resulted in three dead American soldiers and 40 injured. Now, if you don't think that the Islamic jihadists are not embedded in our outposts and our forts, okay, in the Middle East, then you're smoking something other than nicotine. You know, we're talking about an attack, a drone attack, which occurred while American soldiers were sleeping. Now, why isn't anybody talking about the Islamic jihadists who are embedded, okay, who are allowed inside our military compounds, who are giving away positions of our military to the Islamic terrorists, whether it's funded by ISIS or whether it's funded by Iran? And that's what I think happened in this outpost at the Jordanian-Syrian border. You know, the Jordanians think that Hamas are freedom fighters. Yeah. The Syrians think Hamas are freedom fighters. Hamas are nothing but terrorists. They're Islamic terrorists, and they're designated so by the U.S. State Department. They're designated a foreign terrorist organization, and rightly so. And they're financed by another foreign terrorist organization, the Islamic terrorist regime of Iran. Now, you know, it's time for this wokeness, this political correctness, to be squashed in the United States military. Our brave men and women who serve in the U.S. military deserve better. This isn't about political correctness. This isn't about multiculturalism. This is about protecting and defending the United States of America. Now, some can argue, are we protecting and defending when we're overseas? Be that as it may, for right now, just think about this. If we're sending Sergeant William Rivers, Spec Kennedy Sanders, and Spec Brianna Moffitt to the Middle East, they deserve the protections as if they were here at home. You have to scrap this political correctness and this multiculturalism and understand that Islamists want you dead. You know, the Houthis have been allowed to get away with intercepting our ships. They're allowed to get away with two servicemen, two Navy SEALs being killed. At what point do we put an end to this nonsense of political correctness and multiculturalism when we're fighting a fucking war? This is not games. This isn't something that you play on a PlayStation or an Xbox. This is real life. But no, we have to be politically correct. We have to be mindful of who the enemy is. Bull. They don't care who we are because we're non-Muslim. We are the United States of America. We are a non-Muslim country. We are what? We are Dar al-Harb, the house of war. So just because Jordan is an ally, so to speak, the sentiment of the people, government, okay, is to laud Hamas as being freedom fighters. Why have there been 169 attacks on U.S. military installations in the Middle East since this whole thing started in October? Why? Because the Islamists want us dead. And as a result, once again, under Joe Biden, three more servicemen and women are dead. Afghanistan, 13 wasn't enough. Two Navy SEALs died 2 weeks ago. And yet the media is silent. And then you've got that dumb propaganda princess who can't even express any type of empathy for these fallen soldiers because she tries to be politically correct and catching herself, you know, to use the gay trans black community. No, you have three servicemen were killed in action in Jordan on the Jordan-Syrian border. Have some empathy. We pray for the families. It's not hard, Jean-Pierre. It's really not difficult. But when you've got this multicultural mentality and you have to immediately go to identity politics, you start stuttering and stammering over something that should be quite easy to empathize with three dead soldiers. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. This Boer regime, the Biden-Obama alumni regime, are so destructive and so dishonest. And even their press secretary fucks things up. And yet there's no backlash.
No,
so,
what she said was horrible.
It was horrible. And Al, the last point is this, okay? I think that there are some Islamic jihadists who are embedded inside of these compounds. I don't trust them in one bit. And to me, this is yet another indication, and it affirms my suspicions, okay, of the Islamic jihadists being embedded and in giving coordinates to the enemy, which they're part of, because they all sympathize and empathize with Hamas, who they consider to be freedom fighters.
Hell, I think they're embedded in the White House, for crying out loud. But
without a doubt.
When Karen Jean-Pierre gave her condolences, I think it's worth repeating again. She said, quote, three folks who are military folks, who are brave, who are always fighting, who were fighting on behalf of this administration. Well, Karen Jean-Pierre, the military does not fight on the behalf of an administration. They fight on behalf of the stars and stripes of the United States of America. And for the spokesperson for the White House to get that so wrong, so blatantly wrong, is disgusting. And to do it on on the Marxist news network MSNBC is adding insult to injury when it is clear that we know who did this. Charles Lister, who is a prominent figure at the Middle East Institute, he emphasized the significance of this attack and the escalating tension between Tehran and Washington, suggesting that it necessitates a more substantial response from President Biden than whatever words he's saying, which have no teeth. He said, quote, an organization known as the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, which encompasses various Iranian-linked militias, claimed responsibility for the assault. A high-ranking member of the group declared that all U.S. interests in the region are considered valid targets, expressing indifference to American threats of retaliation and valuing martyrdom as their ultimate reward. Now, that one quote says it all. We understand that when the Islamic jihadi enemy says that they value martyrdom as their ultimate reward, means that you cannot have peace. And these are Iranian-backed proxies, proxy Muslim jihadi groups. The name doesn't matter. Islamic Resistance in Iraq. It could be ISIS. It could be anything. Hamas, Hezbollah. They're all the same ideologically. And then there's news reports that President Biden wants to pull troops out of Iraq at this time, just as things are heating up because of President Biden's aura of weakness and policy weaknesses in decisions made throughout since he was put in office. His military decisions have been all wrong from from everywhere, and this is the chickens coming home to roost.
Yeah, we were told for years that Joe Biden was this foreign policy guru and this genius, and to use Biden and genius in the same sentence is really is an insult to the American people. He's no genius. He has proven to be a feckless individual, and he's been wrong at every point. And this is yet another example of how wrong he is. And it's, you know, when you fundamentally attempt to transform America and you start implementing these woke policies, you actually have demoralized a military. And, you know, the American people, and especially those in the press, they should have immediately called out the propaganda princess, Jean-Pierre, when she said they were fighting on behalf of this administration. You know, again, to me, this goes to what FBI agent Dan Smoot stated. He stated that a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. Well, that's what a dictator would say. They're fighting on behalf of us. No, you are serving the United States of America, and these individuals who are serving, okay, what I call them, these folks who are serving, they're serving their country. And you see, it's this whole change in vernacular. What was it? The subversion of language. And here's yet another example of a subversion of language that's dangerous. And Biden does provoke and promote weakness. I mean, you know, just go back to January of 2021. We'll just say January 22nd, okay? So you've got Dopey Joe in office now for 2 days. And already they're talking about reinstituting the Iran deal. You had Iran reeling. You had Iran reeling. So that means that Hezbollah was reeling, a Islamic terrorist organization. That also meant that Hamas in check. That also meant that the tri-border region in South America was under hardship because it wasn't being funded by the Iranians. That also meant the Houthis were at bay, weren't they? The Houthis were quiet. But suddenly, under Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Kerry, they sought to reimplement the Iran deal. And guess who was brought back into the Biden and Border Czar Harris regime? The same individual orchestrated and constructed the Iran deal under Obama Biden. He was brought back into the fold to reignite the Iran deal. Not only that, you had what? You had communist China now feeling their oats, and in 2022, starting in 2022, they started buying oil from Iran, thereby padding the Iranian treasury with Chinese yuan. And that helped reignite an economy. That helped reignite terrorism. And let's be frank about that, because that's exactly what they did. They absolutely funded terrorism. Not only that, when Joe Biden took America off of energy independence, he had to buy oil from somewhere, and so he was buying oil from Iran in violation of the Iran treaty. And what did the United States Congress do, both Senate and in the House? They did absolutely nothing. Nasty Pelosi remained quiet because Nasty Pelosi is part of the problem. Nasty Pelosi enjoys the fact that America is being transformed into a democracy, which degenerates into a dictatorship. And now look where we are from January of 2021 to January of 2024. We have Iran involved on four different fronts, including funding the Houthis, which should have been erased from the map. How dare this regime, the Boer regime, okay, how dare they allow the Houthis to control the Red Sea? And that $65 billion that was released to Iran in assets 1 week before the attack on Israel, what do you think that money's gone? How is it that the Houthis have been revived and now a prime terrorist organization – okay? That's controlling the Red Sea. How does that happen? Weakness. That's how it happens.
And policies. Biden's policies are doing this, as you said, by design. These policies are subversion. They're creating chaos around the world, just like the Clintons did back at the back in Egypt not too long ago.
Correct.
They want chaos. They want chaos to begin the revolution. And the revolution begins at home, and it's a Marxist revolution. You got to have chaos for that to happen. You have to have the people divided. And right now the people are divided more than ever because that is the result of Biden's policies. In fact, a great example of that, there's in America, we have a part, it's called the Party for Socialism and Liberation. This is a Marxist group that is active here in the United States. And in their newsletter that just came out on January 27th, the Party for Socialism and Liberation shut down, mobilized, shut it down for Palestine. And they, despite police intimidation, people across the country continue to organize rallies, marches, and car caravans, taking over metropolitan airports, waving Palestinian flags, and demanding an end to the genocide in Gaza. Which is, the genocide in Gaza is a stupid concept anyway, because in 2005 there was 1.3 million Palestinians. In 2024, there were 2.5 million. So you had the population almost doubled. That is no genocide. So anyone who uses the word genocide, propagandist, idiot, or on the spectrum. And this group, Party for Socialism and Liberation, you can go to their website. They had these subversive pro-Hamas rallies in New York City, Rhode Island, California, San Jose, Los Angeles, Houston, Columbia, South Carolina, Chicago, and New Haven. This is the ground game that is causing all the disruption. This is the ground game that is flooding and making pushing law enforcement capabilities to the breaking point. And this is, like you said, all by design. These policies are subversive. And the Republicans control Congress. The Republicans can shut the funding down for this subversive behavior, yet they don't do it because they are divided. And the enemies are within. The subversives are also deep in the establishment Republican Party. We see that with Rona McDaniel. We see that with Mitt Romney and others, Asa Hutchinson. The list unfortunately, is too long.
McConnell?
Sure, McConnell. Throw him in there. He's just as bad as all the others. So from Iraq to the United States, our enemies... subversion, and Biden wants subversion. And why do they want it? Because we can scream about, oh, Biden should do this, or the Republicans need to do this to make things better, but we got to understand, and it has to be crystal clear in everyone's mind, Biden doesn't want to fix this. The Democrats don't want to fix it. They want to exploit it and make it worse. They want to open the borders to let all these illegal aliens in, to flood the system, overwhelm law enforcement, cause chaos, division, and sow the seeds for revolution.
A democracy always degenerates to a dictatorship. And to me, that's the most profound statement that FBI agent Dan Smoot stated in 1966. He got it back then. He understood what was occurring. And today, we're watching it firsthand. We're watching it occur. I mean, you've got the extreme Akeem Jeffries, you know, talking about there's no basis for the impeachment of Mayorkas. There's no basis. There's no – really. Oh, Okay, so Article 4, Section 4 says that the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. So obviously, with the Democrat Party narrative, with the establishment, with the uniparty narrative, they don't consider 12 million plus illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through our borders an invasion. There's now another truckload of caravan that's about to enter the Mexico-U.S. border. And once again, there's no protection against this invasion. How is it that 30,000 communist Chinese have been detained, by border security? 359 Islamic terrorists who are on the Islamic terror watch list have been apprehended at the border. Now, how many of them made it through? And why is it that it's being advertised? It's being advertised in 140 countries how to get through the United States, to the United States through the Central American passageway. Huh? How is it? It's one being funded by USAID, which USAID is being run by Samantha Power, a communist, an Obama alumni. The European Union is funding the illegal unvetted aliens coming through America's borders. The Norwegian Refugee Council, the United Nations. Not only has the United Nations funded and assisted the illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens, but now it's reported that the UNRA employees in Palestine, which something like 13,000 staff members were embedded in Gaza, took part in the October 7th, 2023 terrorist attack on Israel. Folks, we should be absolutely outraged. Not only that, we should expel the useless nations, I'm sorry, the United Nations from the state of New York, from the United States of America. Let them go to Guam. Appoint Hank Jones, the representative from Georgia, as a new UN representative, so that if the state falls over, he can be on top of that filming it with his camera. The United Nations Relief and Work Agency Commissioner General Philip Lazzarini expressed alarm over the cut, saying that they put 2 million Gazans relying on UN body for humanitarian aid at risk. In the meantime, 13,000 United Nations Relief and Work Agency employees were in Gaza, and it's now proven by the Israelis that they took part in the invasion on October the 7th. So the United States, Australia, and I don't know, I forgot how many other countries now, have pulled funding from the UNRWA, and suddenly Philip Lazzarini and Guterres, the UN Secretary General, Guterres are expressed concern and outrage that states or country, member countries would pull funding of the UNRWA. You know what? Not one dime, not one penny, because Biden doesn't understand dimes, not one cent should go to the United Nations at this point. Not one cent. The United States, Great Britain, Australia have all stopped money going to the UNRWA, and rightly so. You know what? Let the Arab states take care of the Gazans. Let the Arab states take care of their own fellow Muslims. If they have that much money that they can piss away and build these 120-story buildings and build these elaborate ski resorts in the middle of the desert, then let them help and aid and abet the Gazans. And why don't they facilitate peace at that time? Huh? Why don't they seek and demand it? Why don't they demand that Hamas change their charter that calls for the annihilation of Israel? They won't, because Hamas is considered freedom fighters. Folks, that's not an outlandish statement. I've heard that firsthand from Muslims who consider Hamas freedom fighters. No one talks about that. And now the UNRWA, they're reeling. They don't know what to do. You're talking about nine countries that have withdrawn donations. Really? In the meantime, the anti-Israel United Nations continues to harass. They continue to malign Israel. For what? For protecting their country. For protecting their country against terrorism, which has occurred every year since 1948, every day since 1948. Since Hamas came to power, you cannot even count the number of rockets and missiles that have been fired on Israel. And yet Israel's the bad guy? Israel has been there for 5,000 years. And the Gazans don't want to live with the Jews because that's the word of Allah. So stop sugarcoating this whole thing. Stop sanitizing it. The word of Allah drives Hamas, a terrorist organization, a designated foreign terrorist organization by the United States government, not freedom fighters. And somehow, now the United Nations UNRWA agency is reeling because the money that was being stolen by Hamas and not going to the Gazans is now being shut off because it turns out that the 13,000 employees of the UNRWA were involved in the terrorist attack on October the 7th. All the more reason, Al, to absolutely expel the United Nations from the United States of America. And where is the outrage? Well, we're just going to stop funding. But where's the outrage, huh? All this shit went from the sea, from the river to the sea, all the hate being expressed by these pro-Hamas terrorist organizations and these pro-Hamas protesters. And all Israel has done is try to fight for their existence and live in peace. But Islamic terrorists don't want to live in peace. Allah does not want to live in peace. Chapter 4, verse 71. Oh, you who believe, take your precautions. So go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. Chapter 4, verse 84. So engage in war for the sake of Allah. Lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. Folks, if you don't think that Iran is provoking the believers, you know, there's one thing that I'll have to agree with that I heard Nikki Haley state. About 20 years ago, a friend of mine from Israel, we were having a discussion. He was a police officer. And he says, you know, Vito, do you understand how math is taught to the Palestinian children by Hamas? I said, no. He goes, let me tell you how it's taught. If you have five IDF soldiers and you kill three of them, how many do you have left? I looked at him and what? He goes, yeah. He says, if there are 10 Israeli tanks and you blow up five of them, how many are left? That's what's being taught to 3, 4, 5, 6-year-olds. That is the math being taught in Gaza. And that's something that's not being spoken about. And finally, today, I heard an interview on Newsmax with Nikki Haley, and Nikki Haley actually made that statement that if you have five IDF soldiers and you kill three of them, how many are left? That's the math that's being taught to the children, okay, of Palestine, okay, by the Palestinians. Because Hamas is Palestine and Palestine is Hamas. You know, the hatred is it goes deep. The Palestinians aren't clean on this because they have supported the government of Hamas. Hamas despises Israel. The useless nations has never demanded that Hamas scrap their charter. This hatred is embedded and it's ingrained inside of the children, because these children grow up to be members of Hamas. They grow up to be jihadists. But it's exactly what Allah wanted.
Well, and the Palestinians are hated by their neighbors. Egypt won't take any of the refugees because They're Muslim Brotherhood, and al-Sisi hates the Muslim Brotherhood. Jordan said that they won't take any of the Palestinian refugees because Jordan had to kick out the Palestinians, and the PLO tried a coup to take over Jordan from his father. Jordan had to kick them out in Black November and killed tens of thousands of Palestinians. The Kuwaitis don't want the Palestinians because in 1970 they had to kick 400,000 Palestinians out of Kuwait because the Palestinians at the time backed Saddam Hussein. In World War II, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who soon the uncle was going to be Arafat, he's like the father of the Palestinians, he sided with Adolf Hitler during World War II. So the Arabs, the Muslims, the Palestinians have made bad and wrong decisions throughout time immemorial. And this is another example why nobody wants them, because they are a threat to Muslim and non-Muslim alike. And if Israel does not reclaim all of Gaza, and if they think that they can coexist like they tried to do from 2005 to 2023 for 17 years, a peaceful or a non-peaceful coexistence, and it failed miserably in 2024, October 7, and if Israel does not reclaim that land and they try to recreate the same mistakes by listening to the to Biden, his minions, and the voice of the UN, Israel will be doomed.
They will be.
So put that in your hookah and smoke it.
It's exactly what Allah would do. They're following the word of Allah, whether it's chapter 9, verse 5, whether it's chapter 4, verse 71, or 484, it's 929, it's they're following the jihad to a T. Jihad means the war against non-Muslims.
Hell, even Allah is the biggest practical joker on the ever, assuming he exists. God screwed with the Muslims. 1,400 years ago, before Muhammad died, Allah did not give Muhammad a revelation on who is the rightful heir to his dynasty. The result of that is after Muhammad's death, there is no clear succession of power. As a result, the Muslim Sunnis and the Muslim Shia have been murdering each other for 1,400 years with no end in sight. So that is the big joke that nobody talks about, all at the hands of Allah and Muhammad, because they're idiots.
Chapter 8.
If you think that that's wrong, call up and prove it to me.
Chapter 8. Verse 65, O you prophet, provoke the believers to engage in war. If there will be 20 patient ones of you, you will have victory over 200. And if there will be 100 of you, they will have victory over 1,000 of those who became infidels, because they are people who do not understand. So there you go. Everywhere you look inside, and you wonder what the motivation is. And now you've got the useless nations. They're in turmoil because member nations have froze any type of assets. I believe it's now up to 9 countries, including Germany. UN agency commissioner Felipe Lazzarini, he's expressed alarm over the cuts. And yet his agency had 13,000 employees, some of which took part in the terrorist attack on Israel. So, folks, just keep an eye on this. As time goes by, more and more starts unfolding. It will be interesting to see what Congress does with regards to Mayorkas, but don't hold your breath on that one, because the Uniparty is very powerful. We already knew that with Daryl Issa the first go-around, when he voted not to impeach Mayorkas, and yet he was the guy that stood there on TV and said, wait until we get you in front of our impeachment committee. And then what did Mayorkas do? I mean, what did Issa do? Nothing. Voted to not to impeach. So the Uniparty is active, man. They're very strong. But, hey, Wednesday evening, we got Hank Jones and Poly Sports at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Check out Hank's show. You heard Hank earlier. And then Saturday, we've got Minister Simon Dacnik, the beautiful Christy, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern time. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio, we have the newlywed Annie from Southern Sense Talk Radio. Annie has a show on Friday afternoons on Blog Talk Radio from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, and a great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. So check out Annie's show. And once again, that's 1 p.m. Eastern time. Simone Nicole. Check out Simone Nicole's show. It's an apolitical show on Spreaker.com, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday evening, so you can listen to Hank. And then when Hank's done, have a little bit of a dinner, and then you can listen to Joshua at Simone Nicole's show. On Thursdays, excuse me, you can go to AudreyRusso.com, a great American. She has Audrey Russo, Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Her great sidekick, Mr. P, he's got some great rants, I got to tell you. But she has some great guests, too. So you can check out AudreyRusso.com. And you've got Joe Gibson, Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Restoring Our Republic. He's on Block Talk Radio. Check out Joe. He's also running for the North Carolina State House, so good for him. I've heard a couple of, matter of fact, Audrey Russo had Dale Hurd and had Victor Avila on her show. So man, check out Audrey Russo. She got some great shows. You can check out some archive shows at our website, AudreyRusso.com. Sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked on that one. So, Al, any parting shots?
Our condolences to the three soldiers that were killed and a quick recovery to the 34 that were injured yesterday, and of course to the two Navy SEALs who died last week. And it says, God bless America, God bless our troops, and our constitutional republic is the greatest political construct on planet Earth. See you next
Amen.
Week. Adios.
Amen to that, Al. Bigfoot, our big patriot, go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. I read it every day. Thank you for joining us today. Bringing on Boy, Snowman James. Nice to see you. Southern Sense Talk Radio, Annie, our deplorable newlywed radio chick in the house. The Alaskan Boy, nice to see you. Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio. You had Sue from New Mexico on the switchboard. Nice to see you all. Thank you all for joining us today. You all be safe out there. You all in podcast land, be safe out there. And you know what? We the people are going to speak, and we're being heard. And it's giving our elected officials agita. Let's continue to give them agita. Let's make them uncomfortable. And let's make America great again. Thank you, folks. Be safe out there. God bless you all.
Yes, it was my way.
Frank Sinatra, love him.
Timeless.
That he is. That he is. The crooner, man. The crooner. Yeah, him and Dean Martin are yeah, just they're timeless, absolutely timeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, iGuy sent me an email, and it had a list of all the – we were talking about the Obama holdovers and the acronym BOAR, B-O-A-R, Biden Obama Alumni Regime. And he sent me an email, which, and I'll forward it to you, because it lists all of the individuals who were part of the Obama White House who are now part of the Biden White House. And I got to tell you, It is absolutely amazing. And you sit here and you say, you know, how could the same policies be put forward? Well, you know what? If he's not doing anything, if Biden can't really think for himself, you need people around you. Well, you've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23 people. Oh, wait a minute, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. 30 people in key positions from National Security Advisor, Secretary of State, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Education. I mean, these are all people that have served with Obama, who now are running things in the Biden executive branch.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm reading Christopher Rufo's book on the counterculture, and he said that in the 1960s, the hippies failed. That's why you don't see hippies anymore. Well, they cleaned up, shaved up, and they entered the system, and they learned how to manage companies. They learned how to enter the system and succeed. So rather than a bottom-up revolution like they were trying in the 60s that failed in spectacular fashion, now it's a top-down elite revolution where they are infiltrating, the Marxists are infiltrating all the departments, the universities, the education, you name it, law enforcement. These 23 people that you mentioned kind of jog my memory on what Rufo was saying in his book, and that is just so true, because each of those 23 people, if they put, I mean, they could easily put 30 or 40 to 50 people inside the bureaucracy at lower positions, and then that's the swamp right there.
Yeah, you know, what was it, about 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it was Clara Lopez who sent us over the copies of Prairie Fire, which was written by Bill Nass and Bernadine Dorn, and they were the individuals who were the ones that propped it or got Barack Obama into politics or elevated his I mean, that whole what do you call it? That whole pamphlet, that 160 pages of Prairie Fire. They are implementing exactly what was put in place and written by Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, two domestic terrorists.
Yeah, so they're following a guy named Mark Hughes, and it's happening now, right before our eyes. And you want something even crazier? The Daily Mail put out a headline: Taylor Swift could sway the 2024 election outcome. New poll finds that 18%. Oh, hold on, what is it? 18% of voters say they're more likely or significantly more likely to vote for a candidate endorsed by Taylor Swift. So this election will see 8 million new voters in the U.S. electorate and a total of 41 million Gen Z voters just because of the Taylor Swift power of her fame.
You see... To me,
do you think that's bullshit, or do you think that there may be some truth in that?
I think it's BS, and I'll tell you why. I think that the left wing is grasping right now. They need something. They are desperate in trying to sway the 2024 elections because Joe Biden is a terrible candidate. Joe Biden and his economy and his foreign policy blunders are what people are seeing. So look what's happened in order to take the three dead soldiers and the 34 injured off the plate. Now Taylor Swift, why she's a popular star. And suddenly Taylor Swift now is going to be the one that's going to transform America, American electorate, right? Why? Why is Biden now going to be doing fundraisers with Clinton and Obama? Because Biden can't speak. I mean, Biden's an embarrassment. The helmet this past weekend, the selfie, and then just losing track of what he was saying in another speech at another location.
So, yeah, I think people are being – I think we're being conditioned into believing that if Biden does win, should he be the nominee and be the candidate in November, what are the excuses? Well, Taylor Swift was responsible. Bullshit. Yeah, I don't even know what she sings. I have no idea what song she sings. And I think 50 million people who are voters think the same way. They could give a crap about her. But will she get new voters in? Certainly, the youths.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't believe it. I think we're being conditioned.
Okay. You make a good, valid point, and I think you're right. I thought it could be a possibility, but I guess it's propaganda and a desperate story at that. And another story that popped up with your 23 people that are in key positions, did you hear about the Tampa Free Press story they reported last October about a fellow by the name of Little John who disclosed 1,000 of Americans' tax information that he illegally made public.
Oh,
and
yes.
Roll Call magazine reported the prosecutors claimed that Little John's breach affected more than 1,000 Americans whose tax information was illegally made public. And that includes, in his parameter search, the top 5% of earners, including Trump, Musk, Bezos, Bloomberg, Buffett, Peter Thiel, among others, their IRS, which is sacred. I mean, that is supposed to be some of the most protected information. Well, this Marxist Democrat, Little John, for releasing those 1,000 documents, I mean, releasing one document, I think has 5 years per document, so multiply that by 1,000, this kid should be in jail for life.
Mm-hmm.
But this son of a bitch, federal prosecutors charged him with one count of unauthorized disclosure of tax returns and return information. One count. And he released 1,000 tax returns that are still being used today by media outlets. They're still writing stories on it. And the law firm that he was working for that had access to that information because they were a vendor for the IRS that he illegally broke into, they're still doing business as usual. He met 5 years.
It's
disgusting. And the January 6th people have been sitting in jail for 3 years for not even being charged. And this little fucker is getting 5 years only. God.
Yep.
That's the power of the elite infiltration at the highest levels. They control the levers of government.
Yep. Look how they're going after Trump, right? They have baseless issues going after Trump, and yet Trump's going to, you know, they're going to crucify him. And this guy has done more damage. That Little John's done more damage than they've dreamt up with Trump, and yet, you know, this guy gets a slap on the wrist 5 years, just like Ray Epps, right? Ray Epps gets a one-year probation in Tahiti. You know, I mean, and the same left wing is accusing Trump of causing January 6th when, in fact, he said peacefully walk over, and yet Ray Epps is in there talking about, get in the Capitol, get in the Capitol. We got to go in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
But when you work for the DOJ, oh, I'm sorry, you can't say that. Allegedly, when you have ties to the, possibly have ties to the U.S. government, I guess you have to keep that covert.
I guess. It's rotten.
It is. It really is. It's disgraceful. And the fact that the left wing, led by the extreme Hakeem Jeffries, is now making excuses for Mayorkas' failure as Department of Homeland Security Secretary, whether it's intentional or not, the fact is that he failed the American people, and he caused a breaching of his constitutional oath of office, which
States, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. That alone, he has failed the American people on Article 4, Section 4. Whether intentional or just from sheer ignorance, and I'm going with the intentionally having caused this 12 million plus illegal unvaccinated aliens from coming into the United States, and the extreme Hakeem Jeffries is making excuses, you know, for Mayorkas. You know, the Democrat Party has no shame.
And the Republicans have no teeth.
Well, I think that, you know, and personally, I have to agree with Holder about them being all part of the same party. We'll see who steps outside the box. We're going to see what these people are made of. And if they can live up to this thing called a Republican Party, or if they just, you know, go with the Uniparty.
Well, we will see next week.
Yeah, and we'll have to keep an eye out, too, on this, the UNRWA, and as that story unfolds, to find out how many of the 13,000-plus employees were part of the terrorist attack on Israel on October 7th. And they should pay – the United Nations should pay dearly for that. They should be absolutely – and it's never going to happen under Biden – but they should be expelled from the United States if that happened.
Well, yeah, they're anything but neutral. And like I said, 13,000 is probably a low number. I think they based it at 10% to 12%, and that's more than just a few bad apples. These are United Nations workers that are aiding and abetting Hamas. Yeah, United Nations, they need to be defunded, completely defunded. But
you know,
I hope they are.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I mean,
No.
Back in November or December when we report on this, I thought the number was 35,000, and then today I read yesterday it was 15,000, but I could have swear it was 35,000. You got to go out. You got to check out Amy Klobuchar has the picture of Biden with his helmet, his construction helmet on backwards. It's hysterical.
Klobuchar?
Yeah. Check out the president's bipartisan, it's a bipartisan infrastructure bill, all beer and no foam. And there's the phony. He's got his helmet on backwards, and the back strap is going across his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Remember they had that picture of who was the guy who was running for president? He was sitting on a tank, and he was looking through binoculars, but they had the covers on him. He was doing a photo op. Who the hell was that guy? I can't even remember his name.
That was Obama.
I remember. No. It was one guy running for president from Mass, I think. I can't remember what the hell his name was. But same thing. What a joke.
It's just, and you got people now having close-ups up in his side. I mean, Joe, your hat, I got it on. Joe, your hat, I got it on.
Oh, there's audio to go with it?
No. I can see his handler sitting there.
Well, if Trump is smart, he will use that during his reelection.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God! All right.
Oh, here it is. I just pulled it up. Oh, because it had an American flag, so they wanted that front and center on the helmet. The helmet of truth. That is pretty funny.
It's hysterical.
What a moron.
You can't make this stuff up. He's such an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh. All right.
Hard hat on there. All right. Great show. Yeah. Welcome back.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Bye, Sue. Have a good evening.
So long, Sue.
Ah, talk to you later.